John chapter 5, beginning in verse 31 this week. The Encyclopedia Britannica gives 30,000 or 20,000 words to the person of Jesus. That's more words than it gives to Aristotle or Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar or Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon himself was overwhelmed by the identity of Jesus. He made a lot of comments and they're recorded. One of them goes like this: "Well then, I will tell you, Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I myself have founded great empires, but on what did these creations of our genius depend?" He was not lacking in the hubris department. He put himself in there. "These creations of our genius. Upon force," he says. "Jesus alone founded his empire upon love. And to this very day, millions would die for him." At the beginning of John chapter 5, Jesus commits an act of deity. He heals a man. Just heals the man. It's not some sleight of hand, some tent revival hocus pocus. This is not the TV huckster healing an accomplice of lower back pain or some such. This man was an invalid. He was paralyzed and had been for 38 years. Everybody knew the man at the pool of Bethesda was always going to be in that condition or worse. But now he's trying out for Dancing with the Stars. In the middle of John chapter 5, John verbalizes his claim to deity, or Jesus through, or John through, John does it, Jesus said it. Let me put it that way. It's in red ink, you understand. Okay. Jesus verbalizes his claim to deity. He claims to be the life giver. Now, who but God can make a claim like this? "I'm the one who gives life." You know, if I were to tell you that, you would be forming a search committee or looking for some guys in white coats to come and carry me away, or both, probably. He claims to be the judge of all mankind. I don't even think Napoleon thought himself that. He plainly says that the way to eternal life is only found in trusting him. And those are only the words of a man who would call himself God. "I'm the life giver. I'm the judge." There's some outrageous claims. And why should anybody believe those kinds of words? How can you expect these men to turn over their lives and their eternal destinies to him? They're reasonable questions. Reasonable in the first century setting of Jerusalem, reasonable in the 21st century setting of Memphis, Tennessee. If we're going to properly represent Jesus in an increasingly hostile culture, we had better be equipped with an accurate and a fresh understanding of who Jesus is. You've been listening to and hearing and maybe speaking some responses to the Supreme Court decisions of the last several days, and perhaps some of you are wringing your hands and wondering just how long we can hold on, and I understand that, and I confess to a bit of hand-wringing myself, but the fact is that our God still reigns, and the fact is that we, as the people of God, have a unique opportunity to speak forth about who Jesus is to a world that is increasingly hurting and increasingly turning in dangerous, difficult, costly directions. We have that opportunity. But if we're going to do it, we'd better have a firm view of who Jesus really is. We can't be sloppy about it. If we are casual about our relationship with Jesus, then when push comes to shove, we'll back off. we'll make bad decisions. And worse than that, the world will look at us and say, well, it must not be all that important to those people anyway. If we're going to speak the truth but speak it in love, it's going to require understanding clearly, precisely as we can, who Jesus really is. Now, there are many sorts of proofs that can be put forward to demonstrate Jesus' claims. There are lots of different directions that we can go in. But remember his audience on this particular occasion. He's talking to the religious leaders of Israel. These guys live and breathe what they believe to be the law of Moses. They're really into rules. They've perverted the original purpose of the law of Moses, and they've turned it into a whole lifestyle of checklist mentality. And Jesus is conversing with them. Well, Jesus is speaking and then they're speaking. It's not much of a conversation. They're not interested in truth. He's speaking truth. And so they're talking at each other, perhaps, rather than to each other or with each other. These are stick 'em and they bleed ink from the volumes of editions and commentaries and explanations that they have memorized regarding the Old Testament law that was given to Moses back at Mount Sinai. And he is presenting them with scriptural evidence rather than external proof. So if you're talking to somebody today who doesn't believe the Bible, who dismisses the Bible as the Word of God, these arguments may not be all that significant to them. They would say, well, yeah, maybe that's what the Bible says, but who really cares? So just keep in mind, there are other proofs. There are other ways to look and understand the deity of Christ, other ways to present the case for the deity of Christ besides internally, besides looking at the Scripture. But don't bypass it because it's significant. It's significant to people with a worldview that says the Bible, the Scriptures, just the Old Testament, are significant documents. It's significant for us. We need to know for ourselves. We need to understand that Jesus didn't just pop onto the scene and come up with this thing that, hey, I'm God and you need to trust in me. That the whole of Old Testament Scripture has laid the groundwork for that. And so when Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and the scribes who are all about upholding what they think to believe is the law, Jesus responds to that. And by the way, who wrote the law? The Logos. Jesus himself is God. Jesus himself is the author of this thing that they're coming to him and saying, that's not what it says in the law. You're violating the law. It's a little humorous if you stop and think about it too long, but they were careful not to stop and think about it, and so it didn't bother them. But the law, by the way, clearly states that an unsubstantiated testimony of only one person must not be received in court. Jesus knows that. The religious leaders know that. And so for one person to just come along and make some outrageously difficult to believe claims, they would say, well, you know, the law says you got